Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. Today, we'll be examining cardiovascular risk scores. A recent analysis by DeFilippis and colleagues was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine in February of 2015, and their analysis measured the predictive accuracy of commonly used cardiovascular risk scores. And here to tell us about the findings of this analysis and its implications in practice is Dr. April von Aalman. Dr. von Aalman is a clinical pharmacy specialist at the Kingsbrook Jewish Medical Center in Brooklyn, New York. Dr. von Aalman and her co-author, Christian Navikas, wrote a commentary regarding this analysis for iFormRx. April, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Stuart.
So my first question, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the study by DeFilippis that analyzed the calibration and discrimination among various cardiovascular risk scores to someone who hasn't read the paper, what would you say?
So I think first it's important to understand the difference between calibration and discrimination, because when I was first reading this study, it took me a little while to kind of remind myself of the concepts. So calibration is the ability to correctly match observed events and compare them to predicted events. And discrimination is more the ability to correctly rank higher and lower risk subjects. But otherwise, the study essentially sought to determine the accuracy of various risk calculators in predicting cardiovascular events using a prospective epidemiological study. They took a fairly diverse group of over 4,000 people who were pretty healthy to start with and calculated their risk of events using five different calculators: the Framingham CHD, Framingham CVD, ATP3 Framingham risk score, the Reynolds risk score, and most recently, the AHA-ACC-ASCVD risk score. Then they watched the study participants for more or less 10 years, and they tried to figure out if the actual event rates that they observed matched what was predicted. Overall, they found that all five calculators consistently overestimated the risk of cardiovascular events, with the exception of one calculator that actually underestimated risk in women.
So, in critically examining the study methodology, what would you say are the major strengths and potential weaknesses or limitations of this analysis?
So, I think it's important to judge strengths and weaknesses of trials using a historic perspective. Compared to other trials that we've used in the past to validate cardiovascular risk, the study is much more diverse. It included patients who were white, black, Hispanic, and Chinese, where predominantly it has historically only included Caucasian individuals. It also included a pretty well-balanced gender ratio, whereas historically it's usually been typically male. So overall, the study was large and well-balanced, and they also had really good long-term data, with 89% of the patients being followed up to 9 years, and a relatively low likelihood of missing events because of the excellent follow-up that they conducted. For me, I think the biggest limitation of the study as it applies to my practice and the practice of many of my colleagues is that it excluded patients with diabetes. They rationalized it because some of the risk calculators didn't include patients with diabetes, so they wanted to have a consistent risk stratification across all of the different calculators. But I think that this is a major patient population that utilizes ambulatory care health services, and it's also one of the ones where we are most concerned about cardiovascular events. So personally, I'm really interested to know if these risk calculators are over or underestimating risk of cardiovascular disease in patients with diabetes, and I think it's something that we need to investigate further.
Well, as you know, clinical practice guidelines recommend that clinicians use a cardiovascular risk calculator to make decisions about drug therapy and recommendations about diet and exercise. The results of this study suggest that risk estimates vary significantly depending on the scoring system and the calculator that you use. So based on this analysis, is there a particular risk calculator that you think we should be favoring? And conversely, is there a risk calculator you think we should be avoiding when making treatment decisions?
I think that is a really excellent and difficult question to answer. In my practice, I generally tend to lean on the ASCVD risk calculator from the most recent statin guidelines. Largely because I like the way the guidelines are structured, and I think the evidence supports their use in patients with diabetes, which is my primary patient population. Having said that, I think the water gets a bit muddy when we're looking at moderate risk patients, because I think this is where the risk overestimation is greatest. I really wouldn't want to start someone on a statin if they didn't need it, even though there seems to be some evidence coming out that maybe this overestimation isn't such a bad thing. In these patients, however, at this time, I tend to use the ASCVD risk calculator, and then I might use some other calculators depending on the patient. So, for instance, if the patient is male and I happen to have a high C-reactive protein value for the patient, I might use the Reynolds risk score because the MESA study that we're talking about indicates that the Reynolds risk score might have good prediction rates in this particular patient. And they also have similar endpoints, the Reynolds risk calculator and the ASCVD risk calculator, in terms of which events they're predicting for. Depending on the variance between these scores, I might lean one way or another, but if they pretty much align, that helps to guide me and say, okay, statin therapy is or is not appropriate. Having said that, I think that there are other risk scores that might be more appropriate for different populations. And when it comes to ones that I wouldn't use the Reynolds risk score for women, since it underestimates the risk by a pretty wide margin. Just as I don't want to overtreat patients, I don't want to undertreat them either.
So imagine a middle-aged patient with no history of cardiovascular disease, but who has high blood pressure and a slightly elevated LDL cholesterol, and they ask for your advice about whether to go on a statin and low-dose aspirin therapy. What would you tell them? What role does a cardiovascular risk calculator play in your decision-making?
So this is that moderate to low-risk patient I was just talking about in the last question. What a pickle! I suppose it would really depend on other factors, like their family history, their preference, if I have other lab values to look at, maybe an ankle brachial index, high coronary artery score. So if I have these other values, I might consider treating them. I would also evaluate drug-drug interactions. If they're relatively healthy, but they're on something that has a lot of interactions and wouldn't jive well with a statin, that might sway me one way or another. And a lot of times I just speak with the patient. After I have a frank discussion with them about the uncertainty of the benefit, if the patient still feels strongly that they really want it and they're informed, then that might change my decision as well. When it comes to aspirin therapy, you could probably do a whole other podcast on the pros and cons of primary prevention because the data is just so conflicting.
April, thank you so much for being with us here today on the iForum Rx podcast. It's clear from your comments that cardiovascular risk scores still play an important role in determining whether or not patients should receive treatment, but no one risk scoring system seems to be best for all patients. We perhaps need to be calculating a patient's cardiovascular risk based on two or more risk calculators to get a clearer picture about what someone's cardiovascular risk might be. Well, tell us what you think. Is there a particular risk calculator you like to use? And do you feel that overestimating a patient's cardiovascular risk is a harmful thing? Leave us a comment or two. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iForum Rx, signing off.